story of God, because we believe it's the best story that's ever been told. We believe the story of God is the most important story that has ever been told on this planet. We want to take that story and help people connect to it and get it and understand it. And that's really our goal. Now, I want to welcome you. I want to thank you for being here this morning. This is our very first service. We decided to launch on Easter, and Easter's a great day. It's a day that we celebrate what Jesus did for us. We celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead. It's a big deal, and we thought it'd be a great day for us to do our first service. We are calling ourselves Genesis Church, and the reason we chose that name is because we really believe that everybody needs a new beginning. I tell you what, I wake up every morning, and I need to realize this is a new day, and I need a new beginning, and the only place that I can really find that is in God. And I need to connect to his story, and I need to understand his story because it's a great story, and it's a story I've been invited to be involved with. And so as we start our new church, Genesis Church, we're also going to start by looking in the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. And we're just going to look at some of the great stories of the first book of the Bible. And talking to people about doing church and talking to people about their history and their journey, I found that a lot of people kind of know a lot of the teachings of the church, but they haven't really heard a lot of the great stories. They haven't connected to the stories of the Bible. And so as we start our journey, as we start Genesis, and we start just kind of talking about the story of God, we thought the best place for us to start would be in the book of Genesis. Isn't that just convenient? Genesis Church, starting in Genesis. How easy is that? And we're going to be talking about the story of God, because we believe it's a great story, but we also believe it's a story that God has for each of us. He wants us to be part of that story. If you have a Bible, you can turn to the very front. If you don't, at the end of the rows, we actually have Bibles for you, and we'd love for you to take one of those. If you'll turn to page one in one of those Bibles, if you're at the end of a row, just take one, take them and pass them down, and you can get one of those Bibles. It's actually easy to find. Page one is where we're going to be at. We're going to start in the beginning on page one of that Bible. And actually, if you don't have a Bible that's yours, or you're not sure where yours is, we'd love for you to keep that Bible as a gift. You're more than welcome to keep that, take it home, because I believe that the Bible is a great gift from God to us. And if we're going to connect to him, it's a great place to start. We're going to be looking in the very first verses of the entire Bible. We're going to be looking at where God starts his story, because this is what it is about. It's about the story of God. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. In the beginning, God. And that's where the story starts. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Have you had a nice Easter so far?
Yeah.
I hope you have. It's a great day. It's beautiful outside, isn't it? Part of God's creation. What a cool thing. And not only is it beautiful outside, but today is a day of great celebration, like I said, as we really celebrate what I believe is the most important story in history, and really celebrate the most important event that God has shown himself to be real in the resurrection. We're glad you chose to celebrate Easter with us today. And as we talk about the story of God, talk about how God really has opened himself up to us and shown himself, we're going to be dealing with what the Bible says. The book of Genesis is an interesting book. It's got a lot of crazy characters, a lot of great things in it. It's the first book of the Bible. It was written by a guy named Moses. Moses wrote the book of Genesis as actually part of one of five books. The first five books of the Bible is a section called the Pentateuch. And really, it is five books that go together. And Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible because he was with the Hebrew people, the people that God had chosen. We'll kind of learn about that as we go through Genesis. The people that God has chosen, and they live in a world where there's all kinds of crazy religions and crazy ideas about God, and even crazy ideas about creation. People had come up with different stories to say, hey, I'm standing here today. I need to understand why. How did I get here? And so they'd come up with creation stories, and they had created gods in their minds, but most of the gods of the nations that surrounded God's people were gods that they had made up that looked very much like themselves. In fact, what people really wanted was a God that they controlled, not a God that had control over them. And so they created gods that basically were at their beck and call, and that could do whatever they wanted them to do. And Moses wrote the book of Genesis to help God's people understand, listen, we are here because it starts with God. In the beginning, God. And so as we talk about the story of God this morning, that's the first thing I hope that you understand. It starts with in the beginning God, not in the beginning me. See, that's what I really like. I like to have a story that says in the beginning Mike. And by the way, if you haven't met me this morning yet, my name is Mike, Mike Hubbard. I am the pastor of the New Genesis Church, and I'd like to get to know you after the service. But I like the story to start in the beginning Mike. I mean, I like to be the center of my own world, the center of my own domain. I found that with my son. Last week, we were kind of sitting at my mom and dad's house. And when that storm blew through last week, the power there went out. And so keeping a 18-month-old child entertained with no power is always a challenge, right? And so he's kind of running around. He's getting frustrated and getting, wanting to do stuff. And so I pulled out my phone, my cell phone, and he grabbed it. And it's so cute because my son has just kind of picked up words that he's got hello down. Hello, hello. Anytime he sees a phone, he picks it up, hello, hello, hello. And so when somebody calls me, same thing, hello, hello. And so he grabbed my cell phone and he's talking on it like, you know, somebody's on the other line. And then, you know, he's having a good old time, but then he started reaching out and dialing the phone number. And I believe he was about to dial Tahiti. And so I thought it would be a good idea for me to get that cell phone away from him. And so I grabbed the cell phone. He went nuts. Wah! You know, he's just screaming at me, you know, give it back. See, because at the very heart, Josiah, my son, is much like me. He likes the story to start in the beginning me. I was driving last week. I pulled up to this intersection, right? And when I pulled up to this intersection, there was a car coming the other way. But I was going straight. That car was turning left. Green light. I get to go, right? It's my turn. And you know what that guy had the gall to do? He cut me off. He turned left when he was supposed to wait. And so like any good American, I laid on the horn to let him know it was my turn. See, in the beginning, me. I like to be the center of my world. I like to be the one who dictates my story. And the Bible starts with in the beginning, God, because God wants us to understand that if we're going to get this thing right, if we're going to understand our lives and understand how life works, it starts with him. Anytime I take my life and start my story with in the beginning Mike, my life's going to be out of kilter. It's going to be out of shape. But if I come to the point where I understand this is his story, his idea, it is his dream, and he's invited me to be a part of it. I mean, that's a pretty cool deal that the God who created everything has invited me to be a part of his story. If I can understand that and live my life in that way, everything else in life will fall into place. I think it's kind of cool that we're starting with this, and kind of the reason we chose this as a theme. We're actually going to do a series of four messages, four talks out of Genesis chapter 1 through 4 that talk about God setting up the story. And as we do this series, we're really going to deal with it almost like God is directing a play. God is overseeing a story that he is presenting to us. Because even the language of Genesis almost looks like it's poetic. It's almost like a play. It's very true. I believe every word in it is true. But the Bible gives it to us in language that helps us feel it as a story. And as we talk about, we're going to be talking about the story of God and how God has given us this story. And this morning, we're really going to be talking about the fact that at the very beginning, it is his story. And in the first two verses of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning is the idea that, you know, there was a starting point and God started it all. And it's about God. When it says he created the heavens and the earth, it really means that out of nothing, there was nothing that existed, and then boom, God created, and there it was. God created out of nothing, and the heavens and the earth, that's everything, all that is. I mean, heavens, earth, that's it. Everything that exists came from the heart of God for the story of God. And so, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and verse 2 of this passage says this. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Once again, poetic language. And the reason God uses poetic language, he wants us to feel something. This is an image of what God does for the rest of eternity. the rest of history. It says it was without form, meaning that it was worthless. It was useless. There was no, it couldn't be used for anything at this point in time. God had created the earth, but really the earth didn't have any use. But the rest of Genesis tells us how, especially Genesis chapter 1, tells us how this God who is telling us his story created the heavens and the earth. He takes this earth that doesn't have use and he gives it usefulness. In fact, this is something you can understand about God, that God makes the meaningless purposeful. God takes something that is meaningless and he's going to give it purpose. He's going to give it value. And I found that to be true in my life, that I find there are times in my life where I'm struggling with meaning and value. But if I come to him and I understand in the beginning God, not in the beginning Mike, but in the beginning God, I will find that my life has purpose and meaning. I get that from him. He gives the meaningless makes the meaningless purposeful. It also says that it's void. That means it's empty, it's uninhabited, there's nothing there. Not only does God make the meaningless purposeful, but God also makes the empty full. Are there ever times in your life where you just feel empty? And you just need something to happen in your life to give it fullness? See, the language here in the scriptures are helping us see that this is what God does. He does it with the earth, he also does it with our lives. He makes the meaningless purposeful. He makes the empty full. And then it says, darkness was over the face of the deep. Total darkness. And God also makes the dark light. Do you ever feel like you're struggling to find your way? Just kind of can't figure out which way to go or what to do or how to get there? You just kind of feel like things are dark. And the Bible's showing us that the God who created the heavens and the earth makes the meaningless purposeful. He makes the empty full. He makes the dark light. And here's how he does it. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. When it talks about hovering, there's a picture word. It's the picture of the word hovering is a picture of a mama bird who's in her nest with her wings spread out, caring for her young. And this is what's going on. The Bible's telling us here that the earth, God creates it, but it's empty, it's void, it's dark. But something is going on, and that something is that God himself has spread his wings out over creation to care for it, and he's about to do something incredible. And this is what I want to tell you, that the story of God is the story of God doing this over and over and over again. He's done it in my life. He's done it in the lives of a lot of people here, and I hope that he has or will do the same thing in your life, that will make the meaningless purposeful, the empty full, the dark light. He does that. That is his story. And so often we come to the story of God and maybe we don't quite get it or we don't understand it. We're not connecting to it. Our desire is to help you connect to the story of God and to get to know who God is and get to understand what he's about and what he's saying to you. There's an old play. The name of the play is called Waiting for Godot. And in this play, it's about these two guys who are just kind of, they're kind of goobers, you know. I mean, if you want to really change it, it probably would work very well as a couple of rednecks sitting under a southern tree. The idea of the play, though, is that these two guys are waiting. The whole play is these two guys who are just kind of hanging around waiting for this guy, Godot, to show up. There's only five characters in the whole play. The two guys who spend the whole play on stage underneath this tree waiting for Godot. The third character is this page who shows up twice in the play, the first time at the end of, I think, the first act and the second time at the very end of the play, just to walk up to him and say, Godot's not showing up today, you'll have to come back tomorrow. And then these two other characters that have this one scene, but the whole point is that these two guys spend their entire existence on stage waiting for this Godot to show up, and he never shows up. And in the analogy, most people believe the whole point of the play is that these two guys represent humanity waiting for God, and God never shows up. Maybe that's the way you feel. But that's why the Bible starts with, in the beginning, God. God wants us to understand that before anything else, he was there. This is his story, his play. He has invited us to be a part of us and created us to be a part of it. But in the midst of that, if we start with in the beginning God instead of in the beginning me, it'll make sense. And there's four times, and this is what I want to really talk to you quickly about this morning, as I wrestle with, you know, sometimes I don't feel like God is there and I'm not quite sure how to connect to him. God literally stepped out on the stage of his play, of his show, of his story four times. And he showed himself to be very real and very much involved with his story. And that's what I want to tell you about. Four times. My goal this morning is I share this with you, that you'll realize that if he stepped on the stage, if this is his story, and he stepped on the stage these four times, not only those four times, but God is actually involved in his play, his story all the time. He wants to take my life and make it meaningful, to make it purposeful. He wants to take my life and make it full. He wants to take my life and make it light, but it starts with in the beginning God, his story. And so the first time that God literally stepped on a stage was in his creation. His creation. He's the very first character on the stage. If you go to a play and you open the program, it'll say at the very top, cast in order of appearance. Well, the Bible's the same way. Cast in order of appearance. In the beginning, God created. His creation is the first time he stepped on stage as he literally formed and made everything that existed. We bought a new house and moved into it this week. And it's been a lot of fun, a lot of challenge. You know, I don't like moving. Do you? If you like moving, call me. We'll have you help us next time. Because it's just no fun. But one of the great things about our new house is that it backs to woods. And we've literally watched as just this week, the trees went from being just little buds to literally coming full, you know, to where they were fully green. And the redbud trees in our backyard are just beautiful. The dogwood trees are coming out. And there's just this beauty that is in creation that shows us that there was something incredible behind it. As I hold my son, even when he's trying to get the phone away from me and he's screaming, I'm amazed at how incredible everything about the human being is. And the Bible tells us that before there was anything going on in the story, God stepped out on his stage. God stepped out on his stage and created everything. It's the first time he shows up. He's the first one, the first character in order of appearance. Look at this scripture. It says, the Lord created the heavens by his command, the sun, moon, and stars by his spoken word. He gathered all the seas into one place and shut up the ocean depths and storerooms. Worship the Lord, all the earth, and honor him, all peoples of the world. When he spoke, the world was created, and at his command, everything appeared. See, the first time God steps on a stage, the first time he is part of his story is when he steps on a stage at creation. But the second time is this. Not only did he step on a stage of creation, he stepped on a stage and he was part of his story. He literally walks into the stage and is involved in his story with his communication. His communication. This book is a great book, but it's so much more than just a great book. This book is literally the Bible. The one you're holding in your hands is literally God's communication with us. Have you ever had one of those experiences? If you're a parent, where you were talking to your kids and you finally had to kind of sit down and say, look me in the eye. What, Dad? Look me in the eye. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you, please. Have you ever had one of those times? My dad's down here laughing at me. He's like, yeah, all the time. Do you understand me? Well, see, that's exactly what God did. God stepped on the stage of his story, and he looked into the hearts of people, and he said, listen, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to communicate to you. I'm going to speak to you in a way that you can clearly understand me. God knew that people would have all kinds of crazy ideas about who he is and what he's like, and that we as people would create gods in our image instead of following the one true God, and God wanted to help us understand him. And so he communicated to us through this book. And literally what he did is he stepped on a stage and he found men whose hearts were kind of in tune to him, and he began to speak to them. And they would write down the things that God shared with them. And as they wrote down the things that God shared with them, they began to write the pages of this book. And literally God communicated to us. He showed himself to us. He spoke to us through the Bible. He stepped on the stage and gave us this supernatural, real book. That is literally his word to us. And if I want to understand in the beginning God, I want to understand his story. He's literally given us the script. He stepped on a stage and spoke to people so that we could understand him. Look at this verse. His communication. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Listen, God stepped on the stage, first of all, in his creation. Secondly, with his communication. Third, God stepped on the stage of his story to show you that he is really involved through his cross. His cross. Our lives were formless and void. My life was. I'd chosen my own way. I choose to do my own things. I like to call my own shots. I like to be the center of my own story. But Jesus came, literally, God stepped out of heaven and became a man. And he walked on this earth. And he walked on this earth for about 33 years. The God who created, the God who did all that is, literally lived on this earth as a human being. And he went through all the things that you and I go through, but he never failed. He never became the center of his own story. He made sure he kept God in the center. And then he went to the cross and he died a terrible, horrible death. And maybe you've seen The Passion of the Christ, the movie. The thing you need to understand is he did that for me. He took my place. We used to be friends with Curtis Joseph. We used to play for the Blues. And that's always a lot of fun when you have somebody who's cool like that, who's your friend, because then you can go around everybody and go, yeah, I know Curtis Joseph. I am somebody. You know, it makes you feel good about yourself, right? Because, you know, when you have celebrity friends, it just feels fun, you know? And then you finally realize, you know what? Nobody's impressed by that. Like, you're not this morning, which I understand. No big deal. But it makes you feel good, right? So you run. We were friends with Curtis and Nancy Joseph, though. And one time when we were kind of hanging out with them, got to know them, we went down to a hockey game and watched a game with them. But there was one game where Curtis was playing. Now, he was the goalie for the Blues. And Curtis Joseph was playing goalie. They were playing the Detroit Red Wings. In the middle of, I think, the second period, something happened. And the two goalies, Curtis Joseph, this friend of ours, who was the most mild-mannered, laid-back guy I'd ever been around. He was just, you know, on the ice, he was really aggressive and he was a great athlete. But off the ice, he was just real quiet, real kind of casual and laid back, but he skated to center ice and met the goalie from the Red Wings. They dropped the gloves, ripped off their masks, and got into a huge fight. And the whole arena went crazy, or the Savas Center went crazy. People were just cheering it. They loved, you know, goalie fight. You know, how much fun is that? But at the end of this fight, something that was really crazy happened, and it was this. The two goalies got in a fight, but you know what they got to do? Now, if you're a hockey fan, you're going to understand this. When you get in a fight in hockey, you got to go to the penalty box. You got to go spend at least 5 minutes in a penalty box while the rest of the team gets to play, and you sit there and just watch the game. But in this situation, something really different happened. Curtis Joseph went back to his spot in the goal, and they had somebody else on the Blues team literally went and sat in the penalty box for Curtis. And this other player literally sat in the box in Curtis Joseph's place. He took Curtis Joseph's place, paying the penalty for the penalty, the fight that he had done. That is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came to this planet. He stepped on the stage. God himself took on the flesh and became a man just like us. But God lived on this earth and he died on a cross and he did it. He took my place. He paid my penalty because of my rebellion against him. And that's what the story of Easter is all about. As we're celebrating Easter, that's what Easter is all about. His cross, his resurrection, the fact that he paid my penalty, he took my place, okay? And so Jesus, God literally stepped on stage. Look at this verse. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not be lost but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world guilty but to save the world through him. God stepped on a stage through his cross. The last thing is that God stepped on a stage through his connecting. His connecting. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 tell us a great story. It's this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a great part of the story. See, God stepped on a stage with his creation. He created it all. He was the first character on stage. And then he gave us the script. He spoke to people. He stepped on the stage and gave us this book that is a way of us so that we can understand him. And then he literally came from heaven and became a man and lived on this earth and died on the cross for you and for me. But the last thing, God stepped out of heaven and he literally stepped in the hearts of people. The same Spirit of God that was hovering over the earth when it was dark, that was hovering over the earth when it was void, that was hovering over the earth when it was useless, and that gave purpose and meaning, did the same thing when he came into the lives of people. He literally stepped on the stage and came into the lives of individuals. This story that we just read is part of that. When I was 7 years old, an amazing event happened in my life. I was at my parents' house one night, and I understood what God was about and that it was the story was really in the beginning God, not in the beginning me. And I trusted my life, Christ, trusted God with my life. And the same thing that happened, I didn't have tongues of fire and a shaking room, but the God who created all that is literally came into my life. And I experienced him as part of his story. Not me and my own big story, but in the beginning, God. And when we're talking about the story of God, that's what we're saying, that this is his deal. This whole creation, me, you, everybody here, we are part of this incredible story that is the story of God. And that God did not just create and take off somewhere and say, have fun, but God is involved in his story. He's invited you, he's invited me to be part of that story. But we need to start by understanding if the story is going to make sense, it starts in the beginning, God. Not in the beginning me. And that's the challenge we have for you today. In the beginning God or in the beginning me. See, tomorrow morning when you wake up, when I wake up, I've got to wrestle with, do I feel God's presence? Do I know he's here? And am I going to live my life tomorrow like I'm the center of the story? Or am I going to come to understand that God is the beginning of the story? In the beginning God or in the beginning me? When I live my life in the beginning me, my life is going to end up being void, formless, and dark. But when I understand that the Spirit of God, God himself, is involved in this story, and I decide to let him be the center of it, and I trust my life to him, God gives my life purpose, God gives my life meaning, God gives my life light, and I experience his presence in my life in a very real way. I don't know where you are, but I hope that you have that kind of connection with God. If not, we'd love to be a place to help you find that. We also believe that there's a response. When we hear God speak, and I hope that in some way you've heard something that maybe connects with you and makes sense, and you're thinking about the story of God. But as we think about that, we also believe that everybody has a response to that. And that response this morning, we're going to worship. We're literally going to have some more songs. I want you to think about who God is and just think about the fact that he is the one who started his story. And as we sing these songs, we just want you to be thinking about that and sing along with us. We invite you to stand, sit, however you're comfortable, and just enjoy the music. Sing along with us. If you don't like singing, that's cool too. Just kind of sit and listen. But as they sing, while the music is going, another response that we have is the collecting of our offerings. You need to hear this. If you're a guest with us today, this is not really for you. We really give this as a chance for people who are part of Genesis to give back to God. All right, and so we will be passing offerings, but that's really just for people who are really part of us right now. And so you just, you know, just go ahead and pass that by. But we want to have a time where we respond to the God who started this story, his story, and that we're going to respond by just worshiping him and just focusing on who he is and what he's all about. Pray with me, and then the band's going to lead us in a time of just singing and praising. God, we love you. We praise you. I thank you that this is your story. In the beginning, you, not in the beginning, me. And I just ask you this morning to help me and help those who are here to live our lives so that we get that. Instead of trying to be the center of our story, help us to realize that our lives make sense when it starts in the beginning, God. I love you, Jesus, and I praise you. In your name I pray. Amen.